Hey, Katra Podcast Conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of eKatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. You're curious, you want to be well informed, and maybe you don't have hours to dig through dense academic books. That's what we're here for. Today, we're tackling something really central, the mechanics of American democracy. How does it actually work?
We are diving into a really foundational text here. L. Sandy Maisel's American Political Parties and Elections Analysis. Think of it as, you know, the essential guide to understanding the system.
Exactly. There's so much noise, so much cynicism out there about politics, Washington. Our goal is to cut through that a bit and just understand the basic machinery, what makes it tick, or sometimes why it doesn't tick so well.
And Maisel gives us a really strong starting point. His big argument right up front is that political parties, well, people might distrust them. People might say they're dying.
You hear that all the time.
But he argues they are still the absolutely indispensable central organizing force in American democracy. They aren't dead, they're just complex, and they adapt constantly.
Indispensable. That's a strong claim. It feels like it runs counter to a lot of the frustration people feel, you know?
Yeah.
The calls for getting rid of the two-party system, needing something totally new.
Right. And that's exactly why his viewpoint is so useful. He forces us to look past the frustrations, maybe, and see the actual job these parties do, even if we don't always like how they do it.
Okay. So who is this guy? L. Sandy Maisel. Tell us a bit about the author giving us this this dose of reality.
Well, academically, he's got serious credentials. William R. Keenan Jr., professor of government emeritus at Colby College, a top scholar on parties, elections, campaign finance, all the core stuff.
Right.
But here's the thing that makes his work feel so, well, real. He wasn't just an academic studying politics.
Okay. Not just theory, then.
Not at all. Back in 1978, Maisel actually ran for the U.S. Congress in Maine.
Oh, wow. So he's been in the trenches.
Exactly. He's written the textbooks, sure. But he's also made the fundraising calls, knocked on the doors, felt the pressure. He saw the system from the inside out.
That's the aha moment, isn't it?
Right.
That blend of theory and just messy reality.
Totally. He bridges that gap between the political science diagrams and the, you know, the actual experience of trying to get elected. It gives his analysis real weight.
Okay, so let's dig into the book itself then. His main point is that parties aren't obsolete. What jobs does he say they do that basically nothing else can do, especially at scale?
He lays out several essential functions. First, they structure the vote. I mean, imagine trying to choose from hundreds of candidates with no labels. Parties simplify that. They give us manageable brands, essentially.
Like shortcuts for voters.
Exactly. They also mobilize people to actually vote, to participate. They recruit potential leaders someone has to find and encourage people to run.
Right. You don't just wake up one day and run for Senate, usually.
Usually not. And they formulate policy ideas, platforms. And maybe most critically, once people are elected, parties organize the government. Who becomes speaker? Who sits on which committee? That's the party at work.
So they're the connective tissue, linking millions of us to this huge, complex thing called government.
Yeah.
Okay. And the book walks us through this.
Yeah, it's structured pretty logically. It starts with history, these big moments called realignments where everything's shifted, then dives into what a modern party actually is, its different parts.
And then the challenges, like polarization, money.
Precisely. Polarization, campaign finance, of the big issues we see today. Maisel's point is, if you don't get how parties work and how they've changed, you can't really understand the current political mess.
Okay, let's get into that anatomy then. You said he breaks the modern party into three facets.
Yeah, three interconnected parts. The first is the party as organization. Now, this isn't really the old school, smoke-filled room patronage machine anymore. Today, it's more decentralized. National, state, local levels, all sort of working together, but also independently. And its main job now is really providing services.
Services to who?
To the candidates. Think data analytics, voter lists, fundraising help, media strategy. The organization is like the support crew for the candidate who's kind of the star.
Gotcha. So less top-down control, more candidate support. What's the second part?
The second is the party and the electorate. This is about us, the voters. It's about party identification or partisanship, how people feel connected to or identify with a party. It's a powerful psychological thing.
Like being a fan of a sports team, almost.
Kind of, yeah. But Maisel highlights a really crucial modern twist here, the rise of negative partisanship.
Okay, I've heard that term a lot. What does it actually mean? Is it just hating the other side?
It's largely that, yeah. It means your loyalty to your party isn't necessarily driven by deep love for its ideas, but by intense dislike, even fear or disgust for the other party.
Wow. So you stick with your side mainly because the alternative seems so awful.
Exactly. And Maisel points out this acts like a really strong filter, a perceptual screen, he calls it. It makes it incredibly hard to accept good news about the other side or bad news about your own.
That sounds depressingly familiar when you look at online arguments.
Yeah.
It really shapes your whole reality.
It does. Okay, so the third facet is the party in government. This is about the elected officials. Once they're in Washington or the state house, how do they operate?
How does the party influence them there?
Well, parties organize the legislature. They decide who gets leadership positions, like Speaker of the House or Senate Majority Leader. They control committee assignments, which is huge for controlling the agenda.
Right.
But there's this constant tension. The party wants discipline, wants its members to vote the party line to get things passed.
But individual members have to answer to their voters back home, who might not be as extreme as the party base.
Precisely. That pull between party loyalty and representing your specific district or state, that's a core conflict for politicians.
Okay, that tension makes sense. And it connects to how people even get into government.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the nomination process. That's changed massively, right?
Oh, hugely. Maisel argues this shift away from the old system where party bosses basically picked candidates in, you know, backroom deals.
Yeah.
Towards the modern primary and caucus system is maybe the single biggest change in American elections over the last half century or so.
It sounds more democratic on the surface. Let the voters decide early on. But what's the downside, according to Maisel?
The downside, or maybe just the consequence, is that it empowers a very specific type of candidate. Running in primaries across a whole state, or even nationally, is grueling. It takes tons of money, tons of media attention.
So it favors people who are really good at raising money and getting on TV.
Exactly. Skilled fundraisers and media performers often rise to the top in primaries. Sometimes these are great potential governors or presidents. Sometimes, maybe not. But the system selects for those skills, often over, say, deep policy knowledge or compromise ability that the old establishment might have valued more.
The system selects for entrepreneurs, really. Campaign entrepreneurs.
That's a good way to put it. And entrepreneurs need capital. Which brings us right to campaign finance, a huge chapter for Maisel.
Right. He talks about attempts to regulate it, like the McCain-Feingold Act or BCRA.
Yeah, the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act from the early 2000s. That was a major effort to limit the influence of unregulated soft money donations to parties.
But money in politics. It's like water, right? Finds the cracks.
That's the classic saying, and Maisel shows how true it is. Every time you close one loophole, savvy lawyers and strategists find another way.
Which leads us to the really big one, Citizens United, the Supreme Court case from 2010.
Yeah, that was a landmark, an earthquake, really. Maisel explains how the court essentially ruled that corporations and unions spending money on elections is a form of protected free speech.
And the result was?
The immediate result was the creation of super PACs. These groups can raise and spend unlimited amounts of money from corporations, unions, wealthy individuals, as long as they don't officially coordinate with the candidate's campaign.
Right, the independent expenditure loophole.
Exactly. It just opened the floodgates for massive outside spending, fundamentally changing who holds influence in elections. It tilted the playing field even more towards wealthy donors and special interests.
Okay, before we zoom out to the big themes, quickly touch on history. Maisel mentions realignments. What are those?
Think of them as political earthquakes. Massive shifts in who votes for which party. They don't happen often, maybe every few generations, usually triggered by some huge national crisis.
Like the Civil War or the Great Depression.
Exactly. The key example Maisel uses is the election of 1932, Franklin D. Roosevelt, the Great Depression. FDR pulled together this completely new coalition.
The New Deal coalition.
Right. Urban workers, Southern whites, Black voters moving north, farmers, groups that hadn't all been together before. It made the Democrats dominant for decades.
And the point is that these seemingly stable party systems can break apart and reform.
Absolutely. It shows the current map isn't permanent. A big enough crisis could theoretically scramble everything again. But interestingly, the parties themselves usually survive these shocks. They adapt, their coalitions change, but the Democratic and Republican labels persist.
They're resilient, even when their voter bases change dramatically.
Sure.
Okay, let's pull back then. If you had to boil down Maisel's analysis into, say, four core takeaways for our listeners, What would they be?
Okay, first, the paradox of indispensability. Parties might be unpopular, even unloved, but they are essential. They're the main institutions linking citizens to government on a massive scale. They simplify choices, they organize governing.
And the reflection is, maybe be careful what you wish for.
Mm.
Trying to govern without them often leads to chaos or something worse.
Right. Second takeaway, the tension between the party and the candidate. We talked about this shift to candidate-centered campaigns. The individual candidate, their brand, their fundraising network, that's often primary now, the party organization serves them.
Which weakens collective responsibility, right? It's harder to hold a whole party accountable when every candidate is kind of their own franchise.
Exactly. Third, the pervasive, almost corrupting influence of money. That water finding the cracks idea. Citizens United is the big example, but the larger point is that money and politics are deeply intertwined, and regulations constantly struggle to keep up with new ways to influence elections.
It's a constant battle, not a problem with a single fix.
Seems that way. And finally, the fourth and maybe the most worrying theme, the alarming rise of ideological polarization. Maisel stresses this isn't just about disagreeing on tax rates anymore.
What is it then?
It's becoming a divide where the two sides increasingly operate in different factual universes. They disagree on basic realities, not just on solutions.
Wow, that's fundamental. If you can't agree on the problem or even the facts defining the problem, how can you ever compromise on a solution?
That's the danger he points to. It makes governing, especially legislative compromise, almost impossible. It fuels gridlock.
Yeah. Maisel really captures these big ideas pretty powerfully. Let's share a few key quotes or paraphrased ideas that really drive these points home.
Okay. Well, challenging that cynicism we mentioned, he basically says, political parties may be unloved, but they are indispensable. They are the only institutions capable of organizing meaningful electoral competition and governing. It's about their function, despite the flaws.
Right. And on that shift, we discussed how campaigns have changed. The most significant change in modern elections is the shift from party-led campaigns to candidate-led campaigns.
Yeah.
It flips the script. Candidates with money and brand choose parties, not the other way around.
Yeah, that's a great summary of it. And then hitting that really deep point about polarization. We have moved from a politics where parties disagreed on the solutions to a politics where they disagree on the nature of reality itself.
That one really lands. It captures the depth of the divide, moving beyond policy into something almost existential for politics.
It really does. It explains why things feel so stuck sometimes.
So, okay, this is all fascinating, but how can someone listening use this knowledge? How does it apply to, you know, everyday life or how we follow politics?
Well, first, it helps you become a much sharper news consumer. When you see campaign ads or read news coverage, you can think beyond just the candidate's face or the latest poll numbers.
How so?
You can ask, okay, who's funding this message? Is it the official party? Is it a super PAC backed by billionaires or a union? Understanding the money and the structure behind the message helps you decode the spin, look past the simple horse race stuff.
See the strategy underneath.
Yeah.
Got it. What else?
Second, it leads to more informed and strategic voting, especially understanding the primaries. Since Maisel shows how primaries often filter candidates based on fundraising and media skills,
participating in those primaries becomes really important.
Hugely important. That's often where the real choices get narrowed down, long before the general election in November. Your vote can have more impact there sometimes.
That's a really practical point. And a third application.
It helps you understand systemic dysfunction better, instead of just getting mad at individual politicians for gridlock or for being out of touch.
Yeah, the easy cynicism.
Right. You can see the structural pressures, the need to appeal to a polarized primary base, the constant pressure to fundraise, the influence of outside groups. These systemic issues push politicians towards conflict and away from compromise. It doesn't excuse bad behavior, but it helps explain it.
So it shifts the focus from just blaming individuals to understanding the rules of the game they're playing in.
Exactly. It moves you from simple frustration to more sophisticated analysis.
Okay, that makes sense. So wrapping up, what's the one final thought or insight that really sticks with you from Maisel's analysis?
For me, it really boils down to this. The rules of the game matter immensely. Things like primary systems, campaign finance laws, how Congress is organized. These aren't just boring technical details.
They shape everything.
They fundamentally shape who gets power, whose voices get heard, and ultimately how healthy our democracy is. The rules create the incentives and the outcomes.
Yeah, that's powerful. For me, the big takeaway is maybe moving beyond just blanket cynicism. It's easy to say it's all broken. But Maisel shows parties are, well, adaptive. They're not static relics. Understanding their history, their functions, even their flaws. It's actually necessary if you want to engage effectively. You can't fix something or even critique it smartly if you don't understand how it works.
Well said. It's about informed engagement, not just throwing up your hands.
Exactly. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by eContra Foundation.